A man came to Jesus at night to open a conversation. This is Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, one of the group who were the religious elite of the day. Nicodemus is described also as a member of the ruling council. Pharisees presented themselves as keepers of the true faith of Israel. In John's gospel, as in the other three gospels, we see them undermining Jesus, accusing him of false faith. The Pharisees resented his popularity with the people. In the end, we are told it is the Pharisees, together with the chief priests, who engineered the arrest of Jesus. Nicodemus, we learn later in the Gospel of John, spoke out in the ruling council and argued, according to their own law, they should reserve their judgment about Jesus until he had been given a hearing to find out what he was doing. But the other council members refused and rebuked Nicodemus. Later still, after the crucifixion, we read that Nicodemus is one of the two men who came and gave Jesus a decent burial, according to the custom of the Jews. So here is a man who, officially, as a Pharisee, a member of the ruling council, was opposed to Jesus and believed he should be arrested, but wanted to talk to him and to find out more about him. No wonder he came at night, not to be seen. And maybe St. John highlights this image of darkness to symbolise Nicodemus' search for enlightenment by the light of Christ. Nicodemus begins the conversation with an astonishing admission. We know that you've come from God. You could not otherwise perform the signs you are doing. This was astonishing because it admitted straight away that many, maybe all of the rulers, actually did know God was working genuinely through what Jesus was doing, but that they were in denial. Jesus' reply is not immediately comprehensible, certainly not to Nicodemus. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above, or in some translations, born again. The Greek word can be interpreted either way. Nicodemus understood some form of second birth was meant, but he was confused by the saying. He wanted to take it literally. You can't be born when you are old. It's not possible to re-enter a mother's womb in order to be born a second time. With that, it appears that Nicodemus had lapsed, perhaps, back into that same sort of denial. Denial of what his heart and soul were telling him, that his fellow Pharisees were also doing in their response to Jesus. What can we learn from this conversation of Jesus with Nicodemus to help us in our response to Jesus today? Are there any similarities in our situation with what Nicodemus was facing? How can these words of Jesus give us confidence to trust in God now? By giving his mysterious reply to Nicodemus's opening statement, Jesus is, I believe, wanting to convey that when it comes to believing and trusting God is present and at work in the world, then there is wonder and mystery here. It is not simply an extension of our existing knowledge. The metaphor of new birth gives the idea of coming into a completely new and different world. It's possible to go through human life without faith in God, and consequently not to see God at work anywhere, let alone in Jesus. But to enter into a conviction that God is with us and that God is working in this world, to see in Jesus God's love for us, that is like having been born afresh into a new life, enlivened by God's Spirit in us rather than only by our natural life. The purpose of John's Gospel, it declares in chapter 20, is so that we may come to faith in Jesus as the Christ, the one from God who gives us life, true life. The story of Nicodemus is a challenge and an invitation to us, the readers of the Gospel according to St. John, to see Jesus for who he is, to see and to believe in what God has done for us and for the world by what Jesus did in his crucifixion and resurrection. This we would not do simply by our natural birth into the world. It requires a new birth into the life of the Spirit. Jesus, and especially his death and resurrection, what the gospel calls being lifted up, has created for us the option of a new way of being in the world, based on accepting and trusting in God's free gift of love, which came to light in Jesus. Our relationship with God cannot be based on what we can prove about God or what we can do to please God. It has to be based on trusting in God's love, which is shown in what Jesus did for us, giving himself for us. Trying to please God by what we do is a self-centered approach. The focus of concern remains ourself. How am I doing? Am I good enough? Can I make myself acceptable to God by doing more or doing better? Christian faith sets us free from this, free to live to God. Like being born, we don't have to do anything to be born. We just are. Being born of the Spirit is a gift to be received, not a reward to be earned or deserved. This message is summed up by Jesus in these well-known words which appear in his conversation with Nicodemus. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." These days, speaking about faith in God can feel like a strange thing, a baffling thing we are not sure how to defend or justify to the rest of the world, especially the world of work and public conversation. We hear now that the majority of the population of the United Kingdom say that they have no religion. Perhaps not quite the same thing as no faith, but nonetheless, we know that it is seen as unusual, if not uncomfortable, to profess a faith in God in our current society. Therefore, in some ways, we are in the same boat as Nicodemus. Being open about faith in God and in Jesus today feels like being the odd one out, as Nicodemus was, and as readers of St. John's Gospel in the first century were. And of course, outrageously, there are Christians in the world today who are not merely running the risk of seeming odd to their peers, but are persecuted, denied full rights and participation in their societies, attacked and driven from their homes and countries because they are not the same as the majority. Believing is a word with several uses in English. We say, do you believe in aliens? Do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in God? The last statement, though, is not the same as the others, even if often taken to be. As if God is something or even someone to be demonstrated, to be shown, to be here or to be there. This is not who or what God is, not an object of human inquiry or investigation. Perhaps this gospel suggests in Jesus that Nicodemus, a sense in Jesus that Nicodemus was treating God's presence in Jesus rather like that, an object of research or inquiry. Believing in God is that other meaning of believing, which is what you set your heart on, put your trust in. Everyone who sets their heart on Jesus will not be lost. This is the message of our gospel today. This should give us confidence, even in a secular society, to hold and to speak of our faith. Like Nicodemus, we know that God was in Jesus. Like Nicodemus, we may feel pressured to keep quiet about the faith we know in our hearts to be true and life-giving. Perhaps like Nicodemus, we look for and hope for the definitive evidence that could show others who do not yet believe in God why they should. But in the end, our grounds for confidence are shown in the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Faith in God cannot be, and therefore need not be, argued for or indeed against, nor defended, nor defeated, either by argument or the weight of numbers or lack of numbers who support it. Instead, the Spirit of God is a gift we receive, not of our own making. So we begin learning to see ourselves, other people, and the world we are in with the fresh eyes of one who has been born into a new world, where the shape and colour of everything is cast in a new and different light, the light of the love God has for us and for the world, and the shape of the arms of Christ outstretched on the cross to embrace us all, to bless us, and to save us.